Hey, Todd here. I wanted to record an episode here while my thoughts are fresh and my energy is sharp and amped, I guess I'd say. Today, it's the weekend, but my weekends are all over the place in what I do since I work for myself. But I spent some time cutting a frame, a simple floating frame that's for contemporary work. I've done a dozen or so abstract pieces now, and I'm liking several of them, and I wanted to find out about framing. So the topic here is about artists making art and the value of art in society, to the buyer, to the creator. So speaking from in this case, a visual artist, but this could be in music. Music has a different elements to it, but these different areas of making art. So to start, I was washing my dishes here and watching a little YouTube video about a lady who's an artist. I don't know her work, but she has some followers on YouTube, and she was talking about advice that she wished she did not take when she was trying to make a living as an artist. Let's start with that. We're talking about getting paid to be an artist when somebody buys your work or you try to sell it. I have never tried to sell my work, because my artistic work is a very personal experience. It's a process of great enjoyment and exploration. It's a process of understanding myself, exploring things I care about or am concerned about or don't understand. That's one reason in drawing people over the years, I realized as I sit there and attend to looking either at a photograph of someone that intrigues me or an individual that I may know and care about, I'm exploring a connection with them. And in a very interesting way, personally, I have difficulty in connecting with people at certain levels. And this runs in our family. Towards the end of my life here, I'm realizing there is some spectrum issues, autistic, like, you know, Asperger's spectrum issues with our family going back. And there's some things, challenges with me. So one interesting way, too, in that I realize is when I'm looking and trying to not really be a voyeur, but kind of like trying to connect in a sense through this observation and my art, my creation, I'm feeling connections with many things. But interestingly, and this has came up directly in the mindfulness meditation I started a little over 30 days ago, it's been really profound, is that like a movie, you look and you get a sense of the intimacy one way, but you're not getting it the other way. That's really interesting. So, and some either in difficult situations for me, either I don't really know how to do it sometimes or don't do it well in connecting certain ways, or it creates an emotional challenge of fear or whatever for me. So, you know, that's some intimate stuff here. But really, I'm recording this as much as a diary for the future for 100 years, 10 years, 5 years out. But if you listen along and you find it interesting for yourself, please keep listening. So that's a very interesting thing about creative work for me. So coming back, I've spent a lot of time over the years when I was young. That's what I was about. That was a big part of my identity. I was like voted the best artist in my high school at graduation and did the work. I loved it. I wanted to be a Disney animator as a kid maybe and did the types of drawing. Not a lot of painting, but now I enjoy multimedia or other types, you know, from collage and photography and collage and these other ways. So I enjoy these aspects. The materials I'm very fascinated by. Color I'm fascinated by at its essence. Its meaning, the emotional sense of it. You know, that's something in your environment, how that impacts how you live. If it's of interest, you know, some people it's not. But these things impact how you feel and how you want to feel. So creating those things of interest to me all the way from the beginning to the end. So back full circle to making this frame, I enjoy the process. It's simple cutting a piece of nice clear fur and then I'm glued it together. It cost me, now I'm a contractor, I like to do things myself. At the frame shop, they were charging $20 a linear foot. So if I had a painting that I was looking at was a 20 by 24 inches around. So you could just figure like 8 feet. That is 8 times 20 is $160 for the material. Okay, so the clear piece of fur that's just as good, or better as the wood there, I paid $1.38 a foot, clear fir, and I just had to run it through my table saw and then glue it. So, you know, there's some interesting ideas about costs and value. But coming full circle back to valuing my creations, I have never tried to sell them, but I'd love to get them out, but I am thinking about selling them. And it's thoughts about how to price your work. So this artist was talking about, and I've heard this before, say, you know, if you're starting out as an artist, and what does that mean? You know, I don't know. If you're starting to sell your art, okay. Firstly, you have to create good work that somebody cares about. And as an artist, you have to believe in what you're doing to a degree and be confident in it, push forward. And if some art isn't for everybody, my art now, I'm very interested in abstract color fields maybe. Maybe it's just a couple color fields like Mark Rothko, if you're familiar with history of the 1950s, abstract expressionist work. Well, some people look at that and go, well, I could do that. Well, maybe. But firstly, you're often very, if you haven't created works that seem simple, you'd be surprised. But secondly, that's fine. Many people don't value it. You know, Picasso did his Dove with a pencil and a single painting. So coming, you know, a canvas. So the materials was a pencil, some drawings, or maybe a single bit of black and white, and a few things he did for some of his paintings. Coming back to this pricing model, it was, well, let's start with, take the cost of your materials, figure out how much you want to pay yourself per hour, and then, you know, put those things together, then add a premium. Or the other model is, calculate your price based on the square inches of your pieces. And there's some real problems. I have real problems with this for pricing things that are creative. Firstly, a good work of art, by definition, is a scarce element. It's not easy to create necessarily, or it takes really a lifetime to bring to fruition some elements of the piece of work in the end. Now, you could talk about, modern art, some contemporary art, some might be very simple, but there's many things behind the many years that came up to the point with that work. Some things are historically important. So if you eliminate that and just go with what's really a quality piece of work, like something I might do, which I believe I can do, that is beautiful in its essence, that takes some really understanding and then skill to execute. Okay, so if you're pricing yourself by the hour and you sit down and you're doing a figurative work, like a Rembrandtish type piece, which takes a lot of time. Let's say you spend 100 hours on that. You know, it's a couple, 2 feet by 3 feet. Well, then if I do some of my work where I've been able to do where it doesn't take me anywhere near that length, but because of my understanding and my exploration, I can do something unique. And if I'm pricing myself thinking, oh, I like a carpenter getting paid, that's a problem with pricing. So if other side who wants to buy, and I've encountered this, and I call this the little nickel effect. When I started painting, I wanted to get jobs. So we would go door to door often and just look at a house that needed work and knock on the door. And often we had good luck with giving bids and doing that. But then we tried to advertise. Back in the day, pre-internet, 30 years ago, we put an ads in some papers. And one was the neighborhood paper called the Little Nickel. Now, inevitably, what I found out, 95% of the people that called through that wanted a super bargain and wanted work for cheap, super cheap. Then I got referrals through the neighborhood association here over time where people almost didn't even question when I would go to give them a bid, what I bid. And I knew my range of what I wanted to do. But the expectations of different people is very different, and that's key to any business and certainly in the art area. So some people won't value it and they have no... You know, it just, painting and art is a unique thing to offer. Some people value it very highly. It reflects on themselves. There's so many things on their culture and society and who they're with and then how they appreciate things. So wow, I just had a gut emotional reaction to those pricing models that made me like, I don't know, it upsets me to think about that. So I realized, like, you know, for example, in my paint contracting, I become very good at this skill, like many of you have, by doing something good. So if you're getting paid, you know, by the hour, like some people would want to, I never bid if somebody even brought it up, like how much time will that take and how much are you getting paid per hour? Because here's the problem. If I can paint a house, you know, than the average person, most homeowners, like, you know, 10 times faster with my tools and my skill, why would I charge an hourly rate to penalize myself the better I get? In any economic model, or if you're getting a job or anybody gets a job where you do better at your work and you do it faster and you're working by the hour, there's a fundamental motivation problem. And many businesses don't understand this for sure. So, you know, that's just not what I'm doing. So, and actually with scarce things, people look for value. If you charge a higher price, a high price, people will look for why it's high price. I mean, emotionally, they'll say, well, wow, this must be valuable. If you're charging too low, and I've heard this and people talk about, or I see it at like neighborhood art fairs. I don't go to neighborhood art fairs. I did once, but really that's, you know, I'm just not interested. Because it really is. I am creating a false, you know, the wrong group of people who would, you know, go buy a poster, you know, buy a poster online. Go buy something from, they're out there like on Etsy. And that's another thing. I was looking at Etsy. You know, I mean, God bless the world, you know, but if you're sitting there like some people do, there's many operations like this in China. And I saw some documentaries on an individual like this who was very skilled, but they pumped out these copies or types of art. And then they had a broker and a middleman who made all the money, and they paid the person in China very little based on their wages and resell them. I think there's a lot of problems with that process, and I certainly don't dismiss if some of these guys do good work. That's fine. Then there's on the other side the culture, the other buyer, what they feel they want to encounter. You know, do they want to buy art locally? Do they want to support the arts outside of the price? But even, you know, is the work good, or what does that mean? You know, it's basically slave labor. Come on, let's be honest. I mean, these businesses are really taking advantage of that kind of operation by literally paying those guys dollars and charging hundreds for the end product. So pricing with art is a really unique thing. Most of the population thinks it's all silliness because they don't participate at a level other than, you know, maybe spend $50-$100 on something. But if you're crossing into the area of good work locally, you know, it might be $900, $3,000, $4,000. That's a range for good work, that somebody's doing good work. And then you jump into the level where, you know, there's a lot of people around who you become something else going on, and, you know, they're paying $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 for something. But coming back to valuing what you create, if you're creating something unique in life, you know, there's some inherent value to yourself as a creator. If you've made something that's unique, that's rare for you and rare for, you know, society really, that's a beautiful thing. If you sang really beautifully and created a song, I've seen that happen locally of people that weren't even, you know, famous at all, but I realized the scarcity of that moment, the uniqueness of that moment, and had a great appreciation for it. Raising the human spirit to share through creative artwork to lift up us as a society is where that sits, to challenge society and ideas in many, many ways. And that's important as a culture evolves and to make strong. So, you know, value creation, where that sits, I don't know. You know, I do. One thing that's beautiful about the arts is you can connect with people in a unique way by sharing your work. You know, that's one thing I really want to do. I want to get it out there and share it. Other than on Instagram, I've done that, but figuring out a way I can get it out there. And then, you know, points sell some, I suppose. I become very attached to my work. But I'll run out of space right now to keep and store the work. Over time, I'll end up with hundreds of pieces, but, you know, I enjoy the process. And I'm glad that I have the opportunity to make some things and that some people enjoy them or find them thought-provoking. So that's the thought for today. Don't undervalue the creative process. Don't listen to many people. If you're doing something unique, you have to listen to the right things. This is a tricky thing to say, but there's a lot of people you don't want to listen to, really. And push forward where you know you're creating quality, good work, and you know you're getting some feedback. That's true, and it's certainly in selling or offering yourself in service for your skills. Don't be used as a tool. That was something I was told way back when I started paint contracting. Guy hired me and my friend for the first time at apartments, and we went and we didn't know what to charge. We felt we were clueless, you know. But he said, "Hey, you know, you did good work. How much I'm going to pay you this amount?" It was pretty high for us at the time. We worked 2 days for him. And then he said, "Don't ever let anybody take advantage of you." And that stuck 40 years ago, from 40 years ago, for sure. And he was a very cool dude. He drove off in his Porsche. And, you know, we thought he was pretty cool. Young guy doing his thing. So keep creating. I love creating. And, you know, you got to find the people that appreciate what you do. It's like love, right? I mean, there's not too many people that are going to love you really or care. And there's a couple, and you have a couple friends, and that's a beautiful thing. And other people, whatever, they can just do what they want. And that's cool. That's how it works. That's the merry-go-round of life. So that's the thoughts for today, why they were fresh. And over and out. Talk again soon.